Welcome to the big show.
He could go all the way
to the North Valley's own Jerry O'Lennon.
When you're telling these little stories, here's a good idea. Have a point. It makes it so much more interesting for the listener.
Is there a heaven?
Oh, yeah. It's the place dreams come true.
On KKXX Life Radio, this is Live Local Talk.
All right, we're in session. Wednesdays are the days we bring in Dede Hansen from The Growing Place, a marriage and family therapist registered intern, close to receiving her license. She takes clients, as do other experts and those who are maybe life coaches. We'll be talking about that as well in the next couple of weeks. But over the last few weeks, we've been discussing when the signs, the warning signs of when you should see a therapist, get some therapy. And Gidi joins us again. Good morning to you, Gidi.
Good morning. It's good to be here.
I like this topic. I like this subject because I think everybody here, everybody that in the world could probably have some of the symptoms that we've gone through. We've gone through 15. We're going to recap those at the end of this program.
Okay.
But let's continue with what we've got through so far. There are a total of 18, I believe. And then we've gone through 15 of them. We're going to go through three more today, and then we'll kind of recap the whole thing toward the end of this morning's show. So let's pick up, first, generally speaking, the question isn't when these symptoms are. We all have some slight degrees of symptoms, but when does it get to be too much where we need to get some help?
It gets to be too much when we can't manage our lives anymore.
Okay.
When things are not working anymore, when the solutions we've tried are not working, when people around us are telling us something is off, something is wrong here. I think we all have an internal monitor when we realize this is not the way my life normally is.
Because otherwise, there wouldn't be enough therapists in the world because everybody would need one. And not everybody does need one.
No, and sometimes people who do need one just need one for a short segment of their lives.
Like a car. You know, you need a tune-up.
Yeah, or just to get through some crisis.
Yeah, okay. All right, so let's move on.
So the next one is, and this is many people come to therapy for this reason, you want to resolve unfinished business from the past. A lot of people, we all, carry baggage from the past. There's various ways of dealing with that baggage. A common way of dealing with it is simply to avoid it, to not think of it. And it kind of goes underground like a landmine. And then we have a present day trigger that triggers something that it may be very small trigger, but suddenly there's this huge explosion in our lives. And we're wondering why.
Now, we're talking, I think, Gidi, with maybe some sort of abuse when somebody was young, for example. That's the first thing that came to my mind.
That's a good example. And sometimes the abuse is not physical or sexual, but it's verbal. Being told, for instance, by a father that you're a failure, you're stupid, you're dumb, you'll never amount to anything. And then someone else gets promoted at work over you, and the reaction you have is so much stronger than what is warranted by what the boss did. And you're just feeling betrayed and upset. And what's going on around here? And don't I work hard enough? And do you think I'm stupid? And, and things like that can get triggered.
Okay. Just talk this even a little bit more. Are there situations where there is something in somebody's past legitimately? Because I find this hard to believe, but I do believe it. You'll tell me, where people, something had happened before and they don't even know it.
Definitely.
Like maybe there was some abuse that they never even knew about. I mean, how do you find that? How do you root that out if there was some type of abuse, sexual abuse or any kind of abuse?
That's a great question. Yeah. The first answer is people forget things that are too hard to face.
Okay.
So we understand that avoidance is a very natural and normal way of dealing with trauma. You just push it aside, you put it in a box, you compartmentalize it, you encapsulate it, like antibodies do a virus, and you just set it aside. As we get older, the ability to do that breaks down. as more and more things pile on us, as just the natural wear and tear of life and stress, we come to a point, and I, because I'm faith-based, I believe God brings us to a point where he says, you're safe now, it's okay now to deal with this issue.
Okay, so...
And people start to have memories.
Well, that's kind of frightening in some ways, because... Yeah, I look at my life and I think I don't think I've had any type of abuse. I mean, I have wonderful parents and I lived a nice. I like to think I lived a nice idyllic life. But I wonder maybe there was something that happened young that I don't know. And how would you ever be able to find that out?
Well, you know what? If nothing is manifesting and you don't have any symptoms, don't even worry about it.
Okay, so don't go looking for trouble.
Don't go looking for it, or you can imagine it.
Uh-huh.
And you know, therapists are very carefully trained in that way, not to suggest, not to put ideas in the client's mind, but to wait for the client to say, coming in like a presenting issue might be, I'm starting to have nightmares about some man breaking into the house and I don't understand what's going on. And now when I'm awake, I'm starting to get flashbacks and I'm not sure if it really happened, and then we explore it.
That brings up an interesting subject, and maybe one we can discuss in the future, but you talk about dreams, and I'm somebody who personally believes that dreams are very, very relevant in our lives.
I do too.
I believe that God gives us messages in our dreams, and I'm a big believer in dream interpretation. And I even have a book that I trust very much. I keep next to my bed, and it's uncanny on how accurate it is, and it's kind of borderline frightening on how accurate it is.
Mm-hmm.
But so you're somebody who thinks that dreams can lead to some sort of avenues to find your problems.
Our dreams are our thoughts trying to break through to consciousness.
Really?
It's the subconscious or the unconscious trying to break through, and it's running a little test.
Uh-huh.
You know, can you handle this information in a dream? If you can, maybe we can work with it when you're awake.
Speaking with Gidi Hansen from The Growing Place, if you want to give her a call if you have some issues or talk to one of their counselors or life coaches, 588-0448. Two more items that we're going to go through in terms of when you might need to see a therapist. We'll continue our discussion right after the short break.
This is Live Local Talk.
We're talking about when you might want to see a counselor or somebody you know might want to see a counselor. Today, we've gone through now 16 different points out of actually 21. Today, we discuss resolving unfinished business from the past. And very interesting discussion. Sometimes things you don't even know have happened in your life that you need to resolve. And counselors can help with that. Let's move on with Gidi Hansen from The Growing Place, number 17.
Yes, this one is a very common one. People come in for counseling when they're having recurring and unwanted thoughts of suicide or recurring and wanted thoughts of suicide.
Okay.
So they're thinking about destroying their lives and killing themselves, and there's a part of them that is crying out for help and wanting to deal with this issue.
Thoughts of suicide.
Mm-hmm.
Now, how far does that have to go? I mean, there have been times, maybe I shouldn't even admit this, there have been times in my life where I think, God, I wish I wasn't even alive. I mean, I don't really believe
that. That's pretty common.
That's pretty common.
When people think, you know, I wish I didn't exist.
Right.
They're not thinking I want to go do something to myself.
When does it get to be where you have to really say, gosh, this is, somebody has to get the gun and load it, or how far, is there a line where you go, okay, this is just somebody who's just down because he or she's going through a bad moment. They lost their job. They're suffering some type of grief. They got some stock market went down. God, I wish I didn't have to go through this. I really wish I wasn't alive. To where's the point where you cross?
That's an excellent question. And what we normally ask clients who present with the issue of suicidal thoughts, we ask them, has there ever been any suicide in your family?
Mm-hmm.
Because there can be modeling there and patterning.
Mm-hmm.
We ask them, have you made any plans? And then we become very specific. Have you thought of a way of doing it?
Mm-hmm.
Have you thought of a day of doing it?
Have you tried to set up maybe get your affairs in order kind of
yes.
thinking? Maybe
yeah.
that might be something. Yeah.
Have you recently, you know, created a will? And we find out how serious people are. We also ask them if they've ever attempted in the past.
Mm-hmm.
Have there been past attempts? And every time the person says yes to any one of these questions, then the danger goes up.
Mm-hmm.
The danger goes up. But the fact that they're sitting there in front of you is a good sign that there's a big part of them that doesn't want to go through with
That's very good to know. Now, there's a movement nowadays, and I guess it peaked in Oregon, where they actually say that it's okay, you have the choice. And I have trouble with that myself, because I don't think we need legislation. If somebody wants to take their own life, there's nothing you can really do to prevent that from happening. If somebody chooses to do that, unless they go to a counselor, I just don't know if we need laws that say people should be allowed to do that. And to me, I worry that it encourages people to think that it's acceptable and that it's okay to do this, when maybe somebody's just going through a difficult moment that they can work through. Yeah.
That's an excellent point. What's frightening about the law in Oregon and in other states now, mm-hmm. is that they want assistance in that.
Yes.
They want physicians to assist them in that. And it's just one step from there. We go to the physicians deciding,
uh-huh.
or government deciding.
Right.
For me, it's a very frightening, slippery slope. And as you say, if a person is serious about taking his or her own life,
there's nothing you could do to stop it.
No, and they can do it. So mm-hmm. it's normalizing suicide. And traditionally, in terms of the law, in terms of Western law, it's considered immoral to mm-hmm. kill anybody, including yourself.
Right.
And so we're now tampering with morality and with laws of what is murder and what is not murder. You know, murder is the unlawful taking of a life.
What do you tell somebody who thinks about committing suicide? I know that... that I talked to a pastor, and I won't say mm-hmm. who it was, who said that sometimes people who have faith will come to them and say, I'm afraid to commit, I want to commit suicide, I don't want to live anymore, but I'm afraid that my soul will spend eternity in hell. And he told me, he said, I don't dissuade that thinking, because it might be something that will prevent them from doing it. If they have a fear of eternal damnation and suffering in hell, I personally believe that Jesus is there and forgives us even for that sin. I personally believe that. But is that a tool to use to prevent somebody from doing that?
Definitely. And, mm-hmm. you know, I would tell a client, I wouldn't want to be the test case.
Right.
I can tell you theories, I can tell you uh-huh. theology, but I wouldn't want to be the test case. I wouldn't right. want to find out personally if God forgives or not.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I would not even want to go down that road with
right.
somebody.
Right, because suicide is forever.
Yes.
There's no going back. You could always, you know, you can't change your mind after you do that.
No, you can't. And that's not to say that I'm judging anybody who's
right.
done it,
mm-hmm.
and it's in God's hands.
Right.
But I would just tell a client, I wouldn't want to be the test case.
Right. And you know, and just as a point of reference, because there are people who maybe have lost loved ones who
yes.
have to, you know, and to alleviate their concerns and their worries for the resting place of their souls. From my own opinion, for what it's worth, there are many people that share the belief that, you know, if you would be willing to forgive your loved one who gave up his own life, if you were willing to do that, why wouldn't God be willing to do that?
Right.
So I personally believe, and I don't know what your belief is, I believe that God has mercy on us.
I know God has mercy on us, but I wouldn't want to test him.
I agree.
And what I tell, you know, I get clients whose relatives have killed themselves, and that's a whole other line of therapy.
It really is. That's there's a lot of grief involved in that.
Yes.
We're going to wrap up our discussion with Gidi Hansen from The Growing Place on the signs that you might need to go see a therapist. We'll wrap up our discussion after this break.
Welcome to the North Valley's own Jerry O'Lennon.
Ask yourself, what kind of example are you setting for others?
With all due respect, sir, I believe this is going to be our finest hour.
On KKXX Life Radio, this is Live Local Talk.
All right, we finish up our discussion with Gidi Hansen today on the warning signs of when maybe you or a loved one should see a a therapist. Let's run down the top 20 that we have. We have 21, and then we'll go through the last one real quickly. We have somebody you're facing significant distress in your life. Your own personal efforts have failed to resolve the issue. Loved ones are tired of you, getting tired of listening to you. Misusing activities, people, and substances. Loved ones notice your issues and ask you about it. Unusual levels of emotion, high or low, or no emotion at all for a lengthy period of time. Neglecting your responsibilities. Grieving a significant loss that you have no real control over. Even somebody, you lose somebody, and through no fault of your own, you're suffering deep grief. Everyday life seems overwhelming. Nothing specific, just overall life just seems overwhelming to you.
Mm-hmm.
Traumatic events disrupt your life. You're attacked, you're raped, maybe a serious car accident, basically post-traumatic stress disorder, a lack of joy in your life. You're crippled by stress. You just can't seem to function. You feel consumed by fear. Okay. Relationships and family are unmanageable. Next one, addictions become the solution, causing a disruptive lifestyle.
Yes.
Resolve. I can't read my writing.
Oh, you want to resolve issues from the past.
Oh, yes. Yeah, that's what we discussed today. And of course, thoughts of suicide brings us to number 18, the last one we're going to discuss today.
Yes. And I wanted to add one more thing about the suicide.
Yes.
Sometimes people get stuck on a thought of suicide and they don't really want to kill themselves, but they are suffering from obsessive compulsive disorder.
Mm-hmm.
So they're obsessing about it. They feel the compulsion to do it, but they don't really want to do it.
Mm-hmm.
Or they may just be seriously depressed and it seems like a solution, or hyper anxious and it seems like a solution, but they really don't want to do it. They just want to get away from the depression or the grief or the anxiety.
Okay.
So in therapy, we deal with the root cause of it.
Okay.
A lot of times the desire to kill yourself is merely a symptom. It's not the cause.
I see. Okay. That's good to know. Okay.
So and then finally, the 17th one is
18th.
I mean, excuse me. You're right. The 18th one is thoughts of homicide.
Ooh.
This is like suicide. This could be rooted in some kind of mental disorder or personality disorder. It could not really be about homicide. It might just be unresolved anger issues.
Well, okay, here we go. This again is where the line is drawn. There have been people in my life, and gosh, way back in the past, where I thought, boy, I wouldn't mind seeing that person really suffer. But that doesn't mean I would ever go to the line. I would say, okay, I just am angry, I'm upset, I'm hurt, but that person deserves some justice. Now, that's different. Where is the line there? I mean, somebody has done you a wrong, and you kind of like, I'd like to see some retribution.
That's a great question, and it's just like the suicidal ideation. Mm-hmm. It begins as an idea, so you want to assess with the client, is this more than an idea? First of all, what are the ideas?
Mm-hmm.
Secondly, is this more than an idea? Do you have a plan?
Right.
Do you have a means? Do you have a day picked out?
Yeah, no, I had none of that. Not even close. Okay.
So that tells us, that tells us pretty much what's going on. And if they say, yes, I do, then the therapist has to intervene.
Well, your husband, Peter Hansen, the Father Hansen with...
St. Augustine.
St. Augustine. I shared this with him, and he reminded me. He said, justice is mine, saith the Lord. No, justice is
vengeance.
Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. And so I said, okay. So I just sat there because I was still stewing. And you know what? He was right. Karma happens. And it's really, and I remember he told me this. He says, it's a really blessing when you get to see the karma firsthand.
Yeah.
So I was one of those lucky ones, but that's a whole different issue. So the point is to put the vengeance in the hands of the Lord, and he'll take care of that.
He will. And it could be that the client has just got a lot of unresolved anger issues.
Uh-huh.
They may have grown up with domestic violence, mm-hmm. and let's say it's a male client, and daddy solved all of his problems by beating somebody up.
Yeah.
And so this has been modeled and patterned for the person.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not really about homicide at all. It's about anger management.
Yeah.
Or they may have a social disorder. They may not understand that other people have rights.
Well, it also may be, too, that, you know, in the case where maybe that I'm talking about, or other people might have the situation, a wrong happened to them, and they felt like, gosh, I'd like to see something. And it turns out, and it's not really anything to
it's
be concerned
with.
It's
only an idea, and it's not even, it's all vague.
It's not even an idea. It's maybe a fantasy. If
You want to curb that kind of stuff, but
you
that's
do.
Not the danger zone.
Right.
Danger is when you know you could do it and you're willing to do it and you've planned to do it.
Yeah, yeah. So that,
that's when we... And, you know, we promised our listeners 21 reasons to see a therapist. And I wanted to save the last three for our next show because it kind of segues us into life coaching. But with your permission, did you have any question about the 18 we have covered already?
I think the general question is where the line is when you think you need to go see somebody. Because I started the whole series talking about, I remember I had been sick physically, and I was like, I got to go see a doctor because I never want to go see a doctor. But it had gotten so bad that I said, you know what, I have to go get some medication. I got to see a doctor. I can't go to work for 3 days, which is unheard of for me. And so that's kind of where I want to go here. When does it get so bad?
I'm glad you brought up medication,
because
just as we have medications for the body, we have medications for the brain.
Are you a supporter of that?
It depends on the case. For instance, people who are chronically depressed, their brain is malfunctioning.
Okay.
They're not making enough serotonin and dopamine, which the brain should be releasing to give them a sense of well-being.
Yeah.
And so there's a chemical imbalance there. And the idea of an antidepressant is retraining the brain that this is what normal is.
Now, I know that the
and hopefully the brain will then, after a period of time, start producing it again.
I'm one of those who likes to believe that a dose of the Holy Spirit is what could solve everything. And that's not all we got about today. It's the end of the show, and I brought it, but we'll bring this up in next week's segment. But maybe but sometimes, you know, that God can help through other means.
Yes.
Yeah. All right. Dee Dee Hanson, The Growing Place. Let me give you her number. 588-0448. If you need some help, you can contact The Growing Place. And have any issues, unresolved issues, or any kind of addictions or anything, 588-0448. Dee Dee Hanson, The Growing Place. We'll wrap up our discussion on when you need to see a therapist next week. So long, everyone.